Hello, everyone, and welcome to an episode of the 2-Point Conversion on the Going for Two Live Network. I can't use that too many times, can I? I gotta use all the keywords right in the start. Feed the algorithm, as one of our guests here always says. But we are doing a Dynasty Rookie Mock Draft. All those keywords in the first 40 seconds. That should help. Courtney can't be here this week. Hopefully we'll get her back on the conversion in a few weeks from now. But until then, I am, well, including today, I am Kyle Sunra. So thank you, Gladys, for giving me the host chair on the 2-Point Conversion for this off-season here. And one of the guests, Dylan Schmittler, approached me with the idea of doing a rookie mock draft, and I thought the best vehicle had for it in terms of episodes available was the 2-Point Conversion. I didn't really know what the topics would be in April, so because we're doing NFL draft stuff soon, a rookie mock before the NFL draft seems like a fun thing if you want a primarily fantasy football channel. So Dylan Schmittler, welcome to the 2-Point Conversion.
Thank you, Kyle. I can't believe only, 17 days from the NFL draft in Detroit. I'm like, how long is it going to be until the Bears take Caleb Williams at 101?
Yeah, it almost feels like the Washington Commanders are on the clock at this point. I think it seems almost locked in what that first pick's going to be, but we'll drag it out and wait along. And I'll drag out the intro as long as I can. We may have another guest joining us, just to delay the inevitable, but for now, already mentioned, Brian Ford, co-host of the Dynasty Saturday Night 5 here on the Going for Two Live Network. Brian, thank you for joining.
How's it going? Happy to be here. Thanks for coming on. Always fun to talk talk Dynasty rookies during rookie fever season. We're kind of in that pocket of time where we kind of have just about all the information we're going to have, and it's just a matter of back to circular arguments on Twitter and NFL teams lying and, you know, setting up smoke and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's a fun few weeks. Yeah.
Well, we can always have more fun doing mock drafts, right?
Even absolutely, all yeah.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
It's one of our best ways to hold true. We love drafting, of course. It's you know, what any type of drafts, you know, includes best ball drafts on Underdog, our sponsor as well. So be sure to join Underdog Fantasy. They've got the promo code with a deposit match up to $100. So again, the promo code for our site is GF2, going for two, part of the live name. Again, thank you, Jeff Lambert, for everything he does, allowing us to have this platform. And I guess thank you, Underdog Fantasy, for the sponsor. So again, if you have not signed up for Underdog Fantasy, this is the perfect opportunity to do it. Get right to all those best ball draftings that you see every week, basically. Dan, the B-League says, constantly having best ball drafts on the Going for Two Live Network. They seem a lot of fun. You can do the same, again, with the promo code or the QR code that is no longer on screen. I took it off. Sorry. Rushed through that. No, we just want to get to mock drafting, right? We're all eager. But yes, how we're going to do this, it's going to be a 12-team mock draft. Now, there's only three of us, so or four of us once Jamie joins. So we'll split the draft into three. We'll also do something special with people in the chat. Includes Jamie, obviously, as in the chat, he's saying he's driving home. So he'll be there soon. But anyone watching, what we'll do is every six picks, we'll have the crowd chime in. So we'll just let the crowd know off the bat. It'll be the 103 to start. I there needs to be order in my life. I'm sure Brian can attest this too. Anything you can organize, you will. So when it came time to deciding who was going to pick who, I was just like, okay, well, I'll just do alphabetical order and leave it at that. It's simple. I don't have to worry about it. But yeah, Brian starts off, then Dylan, then Jamie, then Kyle. And then also felt nice. Okay, the host goes last. I'm allowing the guests to go first. It felt kind of all in order that it was alphabetical order. Everything seemed to work. So I'm not going to question the universe too much on that. But so that 103 pick will be up for grabs by the chat. So people will chime in on who you want that 103 to be. Obviously, we'll see who the first two picks are as well. But feel free to chime in there. And if no one chimes in, then of course we'll let Jamie make his typical pick. But yes, are you both ready? Unless there's anything either of you want to say before we start.
Think I'm ready to rock and roll. Yeah,
you're on the clock, Brian.
Yeah, I guess okay. I am. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just gonna get the draft room shared. Give me one second here. Sorry, I should have been more organized.
Yes. So for those of you watching, listening, it's a Superflex PPR. We didn't really say tight end premium. So you know, bake that into when you're watching and listening. So you know, a certain guy with certain initials of BB might fall a little lower than he might in some others. We'll see. Who knows? But yeah. So I think we're gonna try to get as many rounds as possible, but I think at most four. So and that's pretty typical for a lot of leagues. So yeah.
Yeah, I would argue maybe in Bowers or BB isn't necessarily the one that's going to fall drastically. It seems like even in just non tight end premium leagues, the thought of him being the positional advantage, mm-hmm. the scarcity, I think, will still drive his price to be pretty high. But it's, I think, the supporting cast, everyone else from tight end to down, where we would see them go typically, I think that could be
effective. Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's get started. We are set. So, sharing screen now. Okay. So, here we go. I'll just make the picks for everyone. But Brian, you are up. Who would you like to select with?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's going to be much of a surprise. Pretty chalk here. It's super flex. We have a prospect in Caleb Williams who has a huge ceiling. He's going to probably the best situation for a 101 or a first-round quarterback that we can remember in a while. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett already in place, running back rotation, improving offensive line, competent defense. Everything is set up for him. The bad stuff that he does is largely, well, I shouldn't say all of it, but a lot of the bad stuff that he does can be attributed to USC's really bad offensive line and defense, especially in 2023. Where he had a worse year than 2022. So you give this kid an offensive line and some weapons, which you know he's going to have. Really, the ceiling is through the roof. Nobody is bust proof, as we were talking about the other night. First round quarterbacks can be a crapshoot sometimes. It's all about what's between the ears and the fit and scheme and coaching and all that. But yeah, I'm going to take a swing at the ceiling here and take Caleb.
And I would say he might not be the safest floor of any prospect, but he'd be pretty darn close to that, I think, just because we expect him to be the first overall pick at quarterback. That should give him some leeway in terms of years starting and you know, as long as he's a starter, his dynasty value should maintain. And
it's worth mentioning that, you know, first round quarterbacks, for real life first round quarterbacks, retain some value in dynasty more than just about any other, well, really any other asset class. And so even a quarterback who might be inferior to Caleb, who's going to get drafted in the first round, you know, if you take him above like a wide receiver, chances are, you know, in a year, even with a bad rookie season, that quarterback will have retained more of his value than the wide receiver will have.
Yeah, for sure. And from all the scouts and the tape that I've been watching in terms of experts talking about him, it seems like he gets the position in terms of it. Like, again, it's so hard to know what football IQ is, what it looks like, but it seems like he's been a pretty good decision maker, can make all the throws. It seems like this is a fairly strong arm quarterback class where a lot of these guys tend to be comfortable throwing it deep. So you've got kind of this ability to throw across the field, which to your point, it leads to the ceiling, right? Can that be a lot of long touchdown throws that Caleb completes? And that helps equate to that ceiling as multiple touchdown games. That's really what we're looking for. Dylan, do you want to say anything about Caleb Williams?
Plus, I mean, other than Jordan and Addison, Caleb Williams didn't exactly have the greatest receiving core, and it still led the country in passing 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seems like definitely a worthy player. But Dylan, now you're up at the 102. Who would you like to select?
Give me Jaden Daniels from LSU. Not just the passing, but the rushing upside. I mean, we saw what Anthony Richardson did with the Colts last year. Jane Daniels ran for, 2,000 yards his last couple of years at LSU. We all love rushing quarterbacks. You own Lamar Jackson, you own Jalen Hurts, you own Josh Allen. We love rushing touchdowns. Maybe not if you have a wide receiver. Steph Diggs.
Not a problem anymore, though. He's gone. But yeah, I love the pick, Dylan. I'm not going to lie. I was kind of hoping Jaden Daniels would fall to me at four. Not going to be the case, but I think he might even have an even arguably higher ceiling than Williams, maybe the floor not being quite there. Because he not only is just a great rusher, but it does seem like he is well-developed as a passer as well. So I guess the concern with Daniels right now would be just, does he land with the Commanders at two? Because if so, I think there is a worthy case to be made that you could take him ahead of Williams, but he certainly definitely, I think, belongs at the top two of a super flex draft. I guess the concern is if, okay, let's say he doesn't go two, and does he end up on the Patriots? That's not necessarily a team we absolutely love in terms of quarterback development. So I think that's why maybe Caleb's safer, because I think we all expect we know what team he's in. I guess, did I hear Jamie enter the chat?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. Sorry I'm late.
That's all right. That's good. We are just at 103 right now. Has anyone chimed in for a chat pick?
No, nobody in the chat yet. So I guess we can probably go with Jamie. Or
yeah, Jamie, I guess you're taking it at 103 right now. So the chat didn't save you here. It's all you.
All right. So let me look. Who went 101?
So we got Caleb Williams at one, Jaden Daniels two.
Oh man. Okay. So we all know there's two receivers that obviously can go 1A, 1B. After listening to Saturday's show, there was some great points. You know, you want to go with the safer guy, right? The guy with like the higher floor, I guess you would say. I know the Marvin Harrison Jr. is like an X receiver. He'll play on the outside most of the time, but who's to say he can't play on the inside? So I was looking at it all wrong. Neighbors, I know he can play on the inside. He play all over the field. But even as an Ohio State guy, I kind of had to take my Ohio State fandom out of it. That's kind of why I wanted to go Neighbors, because I didn't want people to say I'm a homer. But there is a 1A, 1B, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be the pick that is going to go before Neighbors in almost every single draft. So let's go at Marvin Harrison here.
All right. So Jamie makes the pick. Brian's really happy with that.
I think it's okay to want Neighbors over Marvin. I mean, I disagree, but I don't know that that's like, I don't think it's crazy. It was the other stuff that I was talking about, but we're good.
Yeah. Again, glad I can get people on here, because I love both your opinions. But when I was mentioning the comment earlier of the safest player, it does seem like Marvin Harrison he's got everything in terms of the route running to the catching to the being able to get open. Obviously, great production profile and really, especially the career average dominator rating. That's where that one really stood out to me. I think it was a 38% career average dominator, which is just insane. So even at a great school with other great receivers, he still always, throughout his course of his career, accumulated for well over a third of his team's yards and touchdowns. So it's quite impressive what he's done. It seems like, yeah, safe floor, probably safer floor than anyone in this draft. And he's the one where if he hits, like if he really does hit in terms of value this first year, what we expect, he's someone you could probably flip for more than anyone else in this rookie class. You could almost get any other player in Dynasty, it seems like, the way people value receivers. So, Dylan, I was almost a little surprised you didn't go with Marvin Harrison Jr., but I totally understand the quarterback. Daniels as a prospect, but yeah, go ahead and talk about Harrison.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr. is one of four receivers I say who can't bust. And the other three are Calvin Johnson, Jamar Chase, and Julio Jones. He's that good.
And, yeah, certainly the safety. But to Jamie's point, what I'm going with here, Malik Neighbors might have just as much upside. And certainly what he showed last season, single season receiving yards per team pass attempt of 3.82 is just off the charts insane. Like even Marvin Harrison's best season was just barely over three. You don't really see high threes like that really from anybody. So what Malik Neighbors did last year is just insane. I think gives the argument of it. This does almost feel like a Chase Jefferson type of thing. If you love Justin Jefferson as the wide receiver one, his ability to catch, his ability to run routes and get open, you would in theory favor Marvin Harrison, because it seems like there are a lot of the same ones, like the same skill set. Not just a helmet scout, but Neighbors does kind of have that Jamar Chase in him, that extra athlete speed, ability to get open deep. He can have a super high ceiling on any given week, maybe not as high of a floor on a weekly basis as those other guys. So if you fall in the Jamar Chase's wide receiver one argument, those would be the people I think would especially favor. Yes, I think the first five, or certainly first four picks, but it feels like the first five picks are pretty chalk. But Brian, do you disagree with that? Because I think there's one guy a lot of people would have in mind here.
I mean, for me personally, like I think like starting with pick two or three, and then going all the way through seven, I think is going to be the same guys. It's just a matter of what order they go in. I think there are going to be people in your drafts who are like me and put those two wide receivers in between Williams and the next quarterback. And there's going to be people who don't, you know, and there's going to be people like me who prefer another quarterback to Daniels and people who don't. And so I'm going to go with Drake May here with pick number five. An article I wrote about him just dropped on goingfor2.com on Friday. You know, I think a lot's been made of the footwork stuff. I think there's arguments for and against based on that. He definitely does sail a few balls and have inconsistent accuracy. But when I look at, what the NFL wants in a quarterback, and when I look at the fact that he's like, whatever, 3 years, 4 years younger than Jaden Daniels, and has room to grow. He's already a blue chip quarterback prospect who's a coin flip with Jaden Daniels. And oh, by the way, has bad footwork, maybe, and is only 21 and can improve, whereas Jaden Daniels is pretty much a finished product. He's one of those can make all the throws prospects, right? Has enough mobility and rushing where he can do some RPOs, run on third down, get you some goal line touchdowns. He's not going to be a Jaden Daniels in that regard, but he's got enough there. Good thing to remember, too, about the difference between his 2022 season and his 2023 season. He was learning a new offense, did not have good offensive line play relative to 2022, didn't really have weapons other than, you know, fifth-year breakout Tez Walker halfway into the season. So, I think all that needs to be taken into context with Drake May. And I think, you know, put it this way, like if he lands on the Patriots and Jaden Daniels lands on the Commanders, then I think that's a conversation, as to maybe I would take Daniels ahead of him. But I prefer May. And I think, you know, when you have to kind of maneuver the draft board when you're in the draft based on sort of your preferences and the tiers and the market and the prices and that kind of thing. So, like, for example, May is a guy who I'm excited about, but I also think the consensus is lower on him than probably my excitement. So I might say be in like in this draft, for example, right? If I was sitting at 103, right? Well, let's say 104, because 103, I would have taken Marvin Harrison. But let's say I'm sitting at 104, right? Somebody's really hot for Malik Nabers. I like Malik Nabers more than Drake May, but Superflex, especially if I need a court, like I might get a little, say, hey, you know what? I'll move down to 105, 106. But you give me a little bit of a plus, come get your Nabers, and then, you know, I can take May and the other, you know, stuff on top of that. So it's worth thinking about when you go into the draft, that type of stuff. How you feel about certain players versus what their price is and how you prioritize them. So if you want a really good article about just that, the first half of Jacob Sanderson's recent article on his Substack, Thinking About Thinking, kind of talks about that process of putting players into buckets. Of like, I want him, but he's too high priced. I want him, but his price is reasonable, that kind of thing. Pretty much what I kind of did mentally in my spreadsheet last year, but just in a much more concise, definitive, intentional, you know, way of putting it. So I recommend that article. Yeah.
And, I mean, to that point of what you said earlier, though, about where any of these really five players could go in any order. I doubt you see Caleb Williams fall much behind, say 102, let's say, but like if you want a guy like Drake May, I would say five is probably the lowest you want to trade down, but like more than what the cost can be or what like any website says, the teams in your league, especially at quarterback. I think that's an easy way to look. Do these teams need quarterback? If so, I probably don't want to risk trading down with them because they might be thinking, okay, they're trading up to get Drake May as well. So I think that context is important, which, you know, the teams, if you, you know, you want May at 103, do the teams at 4 and 5 need quarterbacks? If not, then that might be safe to do that and move down to 5. But if they do, you might want to just take him at 3 and solidify the QB spot anyway. So I think like the league context specific to your league of what these other teams have, I think it would be super important to that. But anyway, I think it's a clear, I think it's a tier break here. Right? I guess these next two players, like Brian was saying, to the 107, I don't love these next two conventional picks as much. So I do view it as a tier of, say, 1 to 5 and then 6 to, I would argue 8, but 6 and 7 certainly feel like a tier. So, Dylan, based on the, I guess, the two prospects most people like, you do have a choice here. Which one would you like here at the 106?
I'm going to take Brock Bowers. All right.
So get the tight end, get that positional advantage with Brock Bowers.
And by the way, if it were not a dynasty league, I'm taking Drake May over Jane Daniels because I think Drake May's got Justin Herbert upside. Ooh,
interesting. I also heard a comparison of Drake May versus Josh Allen, like the big body type guy, big arm.
Yeah. No, for sure. I've definitely heard that. Yeah, May might be the most physically impressive quarterback in this class this year. At least certainly among these top three. Daniels, it seems like he's got the hype, but maybe a little slender, more slender than you'd like for someone who is expected to run as much as he is.
Yeah, in the May article, I always do, just because I never follow rules, I do more than one comp in the article, and Allen was among the comps. Again, not saying he's going to be Josh Allen level, but as Jamie pointed out, big guy, big arm, a little bit of accuracy issues, maybe needs some reining in and some NFL coaching to put some guardrails on it and work on the footwork. And all of a sudden, you know, now you have a really high caliber quarterback. You know, to be fair, I think, you know, the lower tail of his outcomes could be like Mitch Trubisky, you know, which I also put as a comp in the article. So like, you know, like Jamie was saying, you know, the other day, like quarterbacks in the first round, they're not guarantees, right? It's just that it's super flex. So you swing for the ceiling and the value, you know? So, but yeah, you, buyer beware. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Anyone have any thoughts about Bowers here at the 106?
I mean, is this a tight end premium? Because if it was...
I said no.
Okay. Let's say if it was a tight end premium, I could see him going at 105, depending on if it's like one and a half point extra.
Extra, so like you're saying, like 2.5 PPR when everyone has one.
Yeah.
So like gets to be that extreme. Yeah. To me, I will say the formats where I think Bowers should be elevated into maybe even the top three is when it start too tight end, because then you suddenly have scarcity where I think he can really contend with the quarterbacks, and you would I would argue, especially if he does get early capital, maybe post draft it's easier to do, but probably ahead of Marvin Harrison just because receivers won't be nearly as scarce as tight ends in that format. So I think it's not even a tight end premium to me. It's the start two tight ends. That's where I think he raises significantly.
Well, I think there's really two interesting conversations to be had for me on top of what you already said. One is even in a non-tight end premium, right? How valuable is Bowers simply as a player, simply as a pass catcher? Take everybody's positional designations away, do a blind resume, look at their size and their speed and where they're used in the formation and that sort of thing. And it doesn't really matter that he's a tight end. He's a pass catcher. He's a player. He's a weapon. He's a chess piece that you could argue it should be ahead of a Dunze, regardless of whether it's a premium or not. And the other conversation I think we need to have is how much scarcity is there in the tight end position now? How much value added does the elite tight end get you these days? I'm not advocating for, like, you know, fading Brock Bowers, obviously, right? But when you look at the deepening of the position, the tight end renaissance, the changes in the NFL game, and, you know, I look at my, you know, dynasty tight end rankings, and let's see, I'm probably 7 to 12 deep, right? Before I worry that, like, oh, I don't want that guy as my first tight end, right? I'm not saying all of them are elite, right? But it used to be like, oh, better grab Kelce or Kittle, or in some cases Pitts, or you know, or just punt it. Well, that's not true anymore when you have McBride, Kincaid, Laporta, you know, still Andrews, Pitts, Kelce, Kittle, Njoku, depending on what you think of guys like Ingram, Goddard, and Michael Mayer, Hockenson, you know, missing some time this year, but still a good tight end. Like,
my tight end 11 is Jake Ferguson, too.
So, right. Like, yeah, we, yeah. I totally get that. And he's right below that at 13 for me, right? So, exactly, right. So, we have a lot of good tight ends, many of them young now. You just, for me, you just want Brock Bowers as a player, and the positional scarcity is secondary, where it used to be. The positional scarcity was probably the bigger piece of the pie, or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. It's just kind of a thought that I had. And I put that real briefly in my Bowers article, which is going to drop soon. And that is, like, we need to have this conversation of, like, do we really need to swing for these elite tight ends anymore? I'm not so sure. Yeah.
I do think the last year's draft class brought us more than what we expect out of several rookies. So yeah, to your point, even just in 1 year, it seems like tight end is replenished, and every year everyone says, oh, this is maybe the most, like, this is the least deep tight end's ever been. It seems like every year it shrinks. And this is maybe the first year where we actually say, this looks like it's deeper than most years. And I guess every year there's also people who say that every year it gets deeper, and then we get to the season and, oh no, we're wrong. So we'll find out. But last year's class kind of almost changed things. But if there's anyone in the chat watching, we'll let you impact and actually pick some of the picks here. We're halfway through the first round, and the next chat pick designated spot was going to be the 109. So we've got two picks to go here. So if you want a player and they haven't been taken in the next two, let us know at the 109, which would technically be Brian's spot. But Brian's so generous that he's willing to allow the chat to chime in if we do have anyone watching. Jamie, 107 is yours now.
Yeah, this seems like the most obvious pick with the people left on the board. It's going to be Rome Odunze. Like we were talking earlier, there's Neighbors, who's like a 1A to 1B. Some people argue that Odunze's like right there with Neighbors. So if you say Neighbors is the next Jamar Chase, well, Odunze could be the next Jamar Jefferson or Justin Jefferson.
Jamar Jefferson, not so great. I liked him as a prospect. But,
Odunze, man, he's got the size, he's got the speed. He's what, 6'3", 210, 215, something like that. He runs the 4.45. Just his whole athletic profile just screams draft me in the middle of the round. So I would even consider him, like you said, like above Brock Bowers if it's not a tight end premium. Some people like Odunze over Neighbors, and I'm not one to argue with it.
I might argue with that, to be honest.
I'm not going to say they're wrong, but I'm going to listen to what they got to say. Agree with it, but
I don't have to dismiss people's opinions, but I also don't have to agree with them. Mm-hmm. Dylan, you went Bowers over Odunze. Was that a tough choice for you?
No, because I think especially when if Brock Bowers ends up with one of these good teams, maybe not the Jets, but he ends up with the Chargers or Bengals, he'll be the tight end one in Dynasty.
And to be honest, I feel like he's the guy that could skyrocket in price, just like you said, just based on landing spot. What you're getting with him at a 106 is so cheap relative to what you could trade for him afterwards. It's Kyle Pitts syndrome. You would have been totally justified, even in a super flex league, taking Kyle Pitts 101 in rookie drafts in 2021 if before the season started you flipped him for a king's ransom, because even Trevor Lawrence probably wasn't getting you what Kyle Pitts was getting you in a trade. Now, I think we've become a little smarter, and I think Kyle Pitts might have scared us off, because otherwise the Bowers hype might be out of control if Kyle Pitts didn't disappoint. Then you really would see him going off in the 105. So I think that also maybe comes into it, the resale value now. Now, if Odunze has an amazing rookie season, he's probably going to be valued as maybe a top five wide receiver, just because so many people do like him. I will say I'm not one of the people who's super high on Odunze. He's actually my wide receiver 4 in the class. And JD said his pick was obvious, but I guess I have the 108, and to me this is super obvious because I get to pick my wide receiver. Xavier Worthy, who three big production markers I like for him over Odunze. Age 18 breakout age, which no one else in this class has. So he produces a true freshman, which is so rare to see. And typically the guys who've done that, that's usually a good marker of future success. So right off the bat, that's a strong case to his profile. His career average dominator is higher than Odunze's. Odunze's isn't great in that regard. Really a later producer in his career. Incredible production late, but Worthy was more consistent over his career. Does almost feel like the Harrison to Neighbors argument a little bit. Their single season receiving yards per team pass attempt, they're both really close, but Worthy is still slightly higher. I think his was 2.89. Odunze's best season was 2.85. But across the board, all the production metrics I really look at, Worthy's ahead of Odunze, and that's not even taking into account, oh, he set a record for the 40-yard dash. So I have Odunze and Worthy in a tier of their own here as these next two receivers. Obviously, in most rookie drafts, you will see Odunze go ahead of Worthy. I'm letting people know I'm fine taking Worthy at the 106, pre-draft even, especially post-draft. He doesn't seem like he's going to get the capital Odunze is, but he could end up in a much better landing spot. Dylan mentioned the Bengals. If Worthy's on the Bengals or if Worthy goes to the Bills or Chiefs, I think I have no issue taking him 106. So I actually view 108 of value. There's some rookie mocks I've seen where he's going even into the second round, but certainly end of the first round. So he's someone I think that will be a great value, but I don't want to let him slide here because to me, I don't think there's a better profile on the board right now. So the chat, does the chat want to make the 109 pick? Or Brian, are you bailing everyone out?
Nobody chimed in on the chat at the moment, but you know, maybe I can spread some Xavier Worthy propaganda and somebody will chime in while I'm doing it. I just want to agree with you. Like, I love Worthy. He's been my wide receiver four since the jump. I do have him after the big three and sort of like in that next tier, but at the top of it, I think he has a higher ceiling, you know, long-term than Odunze does. I think Odunze is very safe. I think his floor ceiling combo, you know, makes me lean towards him and also the draft capital he's going to get. And as much as I think Worthy can win in multiple ways, like he can go deep, he can do short intermediate, he can catch passes behind the line of scrimmage. If you want, you know, NFL probably use him with some jet sweeps. He'll probably get some special teams. He can win a little bit on the outside, kind of in the way Tank Dell does, although not quite as physical as Tank Dell, but also mainly on the inside too. So he's a very versatile wide receiver, and I love the guy. I'm concerned about landing spot, right? If he goes to some place like Miami at 21, you know, wheels up, you know, my pants are tight, you know, like I'm loving it. You know, Tyreek's not going to be around forever. Speed all over that team. He's going to be doing those motions that they love to do, like, or, you know, but if he lands on a team, I don't know. I can't really think of one off the top of my head.
New England.
Like, yeah, well, sure. Yeah, if anybody lands in New England. Yeah.
I mean, Nathan Rourke's got the arm to do that. He wish might not start.
But yeah, there are just teams that either have a crowded room or I don't trust the coaching or that sort of thing.
Or so I don't trust the quarterback.
Yeah.
He's someone where, like, even with the Miami spot, he'll have Tua, and that's, I think, part of the appeal of that.
Yeah, and because we saw what Ewers did to him. Some of his second and third year numbers suffered because of Ewers, not because of Worthy, right?
You know, yeah, so. He was better as a freshman and a sophomore than he was as a junior.
At nine, having had, you know, I was really hoping Worthy was going to get there, and you took him from me. I'm looking at my board here, and number nine on my board is actually Ladd McConkey. Now, I'm probably not going to have to take McConkey nine in a real draft, but I also don't love the guy who usually goes here. Like a Brian Thomas. I just, don't get me wrong, I certainly think their ceiling there, the athleticism is wild, but like, I don't know, take away a lot of those deep touchdowns and what is he? You know, like how many routes does he really run? Like types of routes, that sort of thing. So I'm going to go with the third choice here, which is actually my 10th on my board, and go with Troy Franklin, who I think is being overlooked a little bit as a guy who, you know, people looked at his gauntlet, they look at his weight and that sort of thing. Don't get me wrong. Like, there's flaws with all these prospects, but I, being that I don't think I have to take McConkey ever at nine, Franklin's a little more plausible here as opposed to taking McConkey. I think again, with Franklin, you have to think about the production being in the Pac-12, kind of a, pink flag, I guess. Right. Obviously, averaging 180 pounds between his combine and his pro day weight, is not ideal, but I mean, he's just so fast. He's just such a good route runner. He's got to work a little bit on some of his hands and body catching type of thing. But, I think he's explosive and twitchy, and I have more faith in him being able to fit into today's NFL than Brian Thomas. I have them in the same tier. I have them back to back. But if there's one guy in that tier who's going to be the outside deep threat that, stays a situational deep threat, and it's not what the NFL is doing much of these days, and he becomes Gabe Davis, it's Brian Thomas. Troy Franklin, I think, has Jordan Addison within his range of outcomes.
Well, Troy Franklin's my wide receiver five, so I love the pick. It would be the pick I would make right now, especially pre-NFL draft. If we get some quarterback landing spots and some early first-round capital, I think they enter into the equation maybe even before, maybe even at 106, to be honest, if there's a good enough landing spot. Minnesota. Get Justin Jefferson, right? Presumably, unless they pull a Carolina and trade away the number one receiver to get a QB.
So notice notice who I didn't talk about right at that spot, because I want to see it first. I mean, don't get me wrong, I have him in that next tier down. He's 14 on my board. I'm recognizing that we seem to think he's going to get capital. We just don't know the landing spot. But what if the JJ McCarthy? What if the JJ McCarthy stuff is smoke? In 2022, I said Malik Willis is not going to be a first rounder. There's going to be no quarterback taken before number 20 at the Steelers. People thought I was nuts, and what happened, right? Last year, I said Will Levis is not a top four or five pick, folks. Like, he's going to slide, and he slid.
Fell all the way out of the first, yeah.
Right. What if McCarthy is this year's smoke? All right. So, but as Sam Munson on the PFF podcast pointed out, the key difference here is that from what we know, that smoke is coming more from NFL circles, whereas Malik Willis, it was more from analyst circles saying, well, Detroit needs a quarterback. Let's put Malik Willis there. He can run, or with Levis, it was that's weird Reddit thread in the betting market. Right. So this probably has more credibility. And I do like McCarthy. There's a there. I want him to be able to maybe sit behind a quarterback, at least for a few weeks before he starts. But I mean, if he gets a landing spot like New England, I won't have many shares of him. I'll take a few, because as we said before, it's a first round quarterback in a super flex. But if he ends up in Minnesota, then I'd be picking him at ahead of Franklin and maybe even ahead of Worthy. Yeah,
probably would too. That's what I'm saying. I might even go ahead of Bowers and Adunze. They just go right to the QB in that amazing landing spot. I don't love McCarthy either, which is why, again, I love the Franklin pick. Dylan, curious with you, seeing three wide receivers go here. Do you like all three of these guys?
I'm a little surprised Brian Thomas is still on the board based on what he did at LSU and not true. Basically, every one of his routes was a nine round. And I mean, that offense, I mean, LSU put up 80 points on teams.
Well, you might. Yeah, I mean, that might be a good omen for you here. But I guess just before that, JB, any thoughts here on Worthy and Franklin? Obviously, you love Adunze since you made that pick.
I like both Worthy and Franklin. Not this high, probably a few spots lower. I was higher on Worthy until I was talking to Searfoss, one of the Going for Two members, and he just kept bringing up all this stuff. Like, since 1999, like, there was only two receivers that weighed under 175 or 170 pounds that got like over 1,000 yards. So he's a little bit worried about his size, but if you watch Worthy's game, I think he'd easily put up 1,000 yards.
It's funny, because I know I'm going to have Searfoss on the Full Press Fantasy Pod in a couple weeks, or I guess next week actually, to talk about rookie wide receivers. And he had hinted that he wanted to burst my wide receiver three Worthy bubble a little bit.
Yeah, it's a fair point, because if you lean into Devontae Smith and and Tank Dell and guys like that, you know.
Marquise Brown, I was thinking too.
Yeah, you're leaning into pretty much like the exceptions, right, and not necessarily the rule. There's more Tutu Atwells and De-Eskridges in the history of the NFL than there, you know, than there is those guys. But we'll see. You know, we'll see. I think Worthy can transcend that. Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, Dylan, you hinted at Brian Thomas being surprised he's still available. You have the 110. Is that who you're taking here?
No, because I'm taking my favorite wide receiver in the draft. I'm going back to Georgia for Lamb McConkey.
Brian's pick. Ah, okay. So, yeah, Ladd McConkey. There he goes. Brian, are you upset that he didn't follow you, or you're happy to see that he's going in the top 10?
I'm glad another Ladd lover got to have Ladd. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Seems like Dylan, you're pretty excited.
I need more Lads on my team.
Should be a good lad. And yeah, if there's anyone in the chat, maybe we'll do the 112 as a chat pick just to end. So if anyone in the chat thinks there's a player that should be a first rounder that we haven't made, make that statement, and then it might influence who I will take at the 112, or I'll let the chat decide. But Jamie, you're up at 111.
Yeah, I just want to go back on Ladd real quick. Sure, yeah. I love him, and it's kind of pissing me off that he's going so high now. I was getting him at the late second round, early third round a couple months ago, and then he just kept creeping up. It's like, okay, 206, I'll get him at 206, and now I see him at 112, and this is the highest I've ever seen him, and he deserves to be here. Not quite as high as Brian Thomas Jr., though. I think Brian Thomas Jr., I mean, look at the guy's size and his speed. They just don't match up.
And maybe to someone who isn't as so, like me, I don't care about the wide receiver size and speed. So, like, what doesn't match up about that?
So he shouldn't be this fast for how big he is.
Okay. He is,
He's like a 4.33, right? If it wasn't for Worthy, I mean, that he would have been the fastest receiver at the time.
Wasn't, like, to your point earlier with your earlier pick of a Dunes, wasn't a Dunes, they kind of like that too? And I guess Neighbors as well, for their size, their 40 times are quite impressive.
Yeah. But with Brian Thomas, like, the way he plays, he'll beat you off that first step. He'll, like Brian alluded to earlier, he only runs like three good routes, right? So when he's drafted in the NFL, they're only going to run those three routes, but he can excel at those three routes.
Like what Brian was saying earlier with Xavier Worthy, Brian Thomas, like, he might go up or down, not so much based on capital, based on who his quarterback is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's got really good ball control. He's not relying on those contested catches. He can go up just the way he moves his body while he's in the air. I'm pretty sure he's a former basketball player, and you kind of see that in his game a little bit. But I love Brian Thomas. He's my wide receiver 4 below Odunze, Neighbors, and Marvin Harrison. So getting him this late, that's a steal for me.
Figured Neighbors is going to be the last name named there. But so, yeah, you're going Brian Thomas here.
Yeah, of course.
I guess I'll just end this out with this is one last receiver for me in this top tier. And he's actually my wide receiver 6. So I have him ahead of McConkey and Thomas. So I'm happy to actually get Keon Coleman here. If I'm not mistaken, he's another taller receiver, right? Because I know his production's pretty decent in certain regards.
Nope. Yeah.
Everyone's like me and doesn't care about body measurements.
Sorry, I was on mute. He's like 6'3", I think. Something like that. Yeah.
No, I thought he definitely got some upside with touchdowns and red zone upside with Coleman. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I like him in this tier, but anyone have any one that, okay, so that's basically it's, we go 6 straight receivers to end the first round. Does anyone have anyone that feels like there's someone that doesn't belong in this first round that went there among those receivers?
Just Coleman for me. I think he's a little too high. He had 250 reception seasons, but I want to see someone that has like 70, 75 going in the first round.
I mean, you hope he's not Quentin Johnston from last year.
Yeah, seems like it. And to be fair, you know, I think a lot of instances, especially pre-NFL draft, you weren't getting Quentin Johnston at 112.
Yeah, I think I've been kind of like out on cost at Coleman since day one. I just don't see it. But there's a case to be made for him about, you know, the bad quarterback play toward the end of that season. You know, that he has punt return skills, which guys his size normally don't. And that translates also into, you know, sometimes, you know, some good yak stuff. He definitely is going to be a red zone threat if they use him right. Matt Harmon actually just put out an episode about Keon Coleman. And I loved it because it was he instead of doing like the normal-ish way that he does things, he started out by saying, okay, your favorite college wide receiver can't get separation. What do you do, right? And I think he made a good case that guys like him, and like I said last year with Quentin Johnson, might be better fit for big slot than they would be for the type of things that the other NFL teams might ask him to do. So he's another guy where we keep saying it, but where he goes is going to matter. Like, are the people in charge smart enough to use him the right way? And, you know, whereas I think there are some other wide receivers who are about to go in this next round, who I think are safer bets and more scheme independent.
Yeah. With Coleman, I would suppose if we're talking about him as a red zone weapon, it doesn't even need to be like an elite quarterback, but he needs to be in a high scoring offense. I mean, if it's a lesser quarterback, at least offense, I can get him to the red zone and give the quarterback that opportunity to throw him those jump balls. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as long as he doesn't go to like just one of these awful offenses with a young quarterback that we're not so crazy about, or a lack of a quarterback perhaps, or you know, an offensive coordinator that we really don't feel is that confident, that could be the red flag. So I guess on to round two, and we took us 45 minutes for one round, so probably just gonna do two rounds to be honest, but let's see how quickly we get through this. So Brian, what do you want for the 201?
Yeah, I'll talk shorter this time. I think, you know, despite him being lower on my board than other guys who are not taken yet, we might as well take JJ McCarthy now and say he got a pretty good landing spot and he's going to sit behind a guy like Sam Darnold for a few weeks and we'll see how he goes. I think there's enough, personally speaking, I think there's enough doubts about him where him leaking into the second round in a rookie draft, even if he does get first round capital, isn't out of the question. But let's face it, right? If in your leagues, if he goes to Minnesota and the Minnesota isn't at 11, it's a trade up, or he goes to another team in the top five, like even a bad team like New England, there's people already ready to run wheels up on McCarthy like that. So he's not going to be there in a lot of these drafts at this time. So we might as well just take him now and get it out of the way. Yeah.
Well, and I think, again, the distinction, because there are some rookie drafts happening pre-NFL draft that I could imagine, those would be this type of timing would be the types where you'd see McCarthy fall to the second round, just because we aren't sure. Like, it really is a thin line of first round to second round capital with the wide receivers. Landing spot can really sway it. But you say, you know, first round to second round capital, especially like, you know, top 10 capital versus you're in the 40s, that's a massive difference first to second round. So I think it's more prudent. There's more ceiling with McCarthy because if he does get that early capital, yeah, he skyrockets. But if he doesn't, this probably is where he ends up even post-NFL draft. So I think for the pre-draft mocking, I think it makes sense to fade these quarterbacks a little bit, which is why I think a lot of us thought that way, which is why we were all wide receiver. Because even if McConkey or Coleman falls the second round, they're still going to be mostly around here in rookie drafts, maybe – at the very worst, the top half of the second round. But yeah, does anyone have another quarterback as their QB4? Would all of you have gone McCarthy here?
No, for me, it's definitely McCarthy. Unless Penix does land in a better spot, because I keep hearing like the NFL people love Penix way more than scouting people. So,
back to what Brian was saying with the media, you know, media really liking Malik Willis and who was it last year that you mentioned? I can't remember, but like where that wasn't NFL people, that was more the outside media people saying that. But again, we don't know landing spot yet, right? I mean, the purpose of this mock is to how would we approach this pre-draft? So does, again, I think McCarthy makes sense if we could kind of project that. Dylan, what do you think of McCarthy? And then you can go to your second pick if you'd like.
I think J.J. McCarthy reminds me a lot of Alex Smith. I don't know if he – I think he's a winner. I don't think he's a great fantasy quarterback, but in that Minnesota offense with Aaron Jones, two great wide receivers, Hockenson, two great tackles, held the best chance to succeed. Like J.J. McCarthy in New England, where I think you might be running routes before long.
Hey, I mean, I'd love to run routes with Nathan Rourke throwing the football. That'd be amazing. I'd do that. I wouldn't be able to keep up, probably. He'd overthrow me for sure. Or I'd underrun it. We'll say that. I won't blame Rourke. His passes would be perfect. But yeah, go ahead. And who are you taking 202?
Athani Mitchell.
Okay. Another one of these receivers that looks like if they don't get first round capital, it'll certainly be in the second round. I believe he was a Texas guy, right?
Yep.
Any particular reason you like him as the next receiver here?
Because I think Adonai Mitchell's got big time playing upside, play at Georgia and Texas. I feel like he's one of these second round wide receivers who could hop in the NFL based on where he played, because I think he's got more upside because Jordan really didn't throw the ball. And then Quinn Hughes is okay, but Quinn Hughes is not a day one quarterback. He's not, you know, any of the big three in this draft or potentially next year's draft.
Right. So, yeah. JD, Brian, you guys like Adonai Mitchell as well?
For me, it depends on landing spot. Like, he's more of that boom bust kind of player to me. I want to see where he lands. Someone I probably won't own in Dynasty. Best ball leagues, I'll probably want him a lot more for seasonal. And I'm in a best ball Dynasty league, someone I might consider at this spot.
Yeah, I'm generally not a Mitchell guy at cost. But I see the argument for him in his defense. Obviously, the Ewers factor. I believe he came to college as a quarterback and had to learn the position. I don't know what the coaching and culture is like there, where it seemed like other people who have watched maybe more closely than I have said he's not the only Texas player who, you know, took a little steam off his routes every few plays, just because that's maybe the way the offense runs and the way the coaching and culture is. And so, you know, for me, he's less of a finished product than, say, a guy like Keon Coleman, who I tend to doubt more is. All that said, I think, you know, there's a lot to be afraid of, if you will, if that's a good word. Great athleticism, you know, strong hands. But he could be, you know, another of these, you know, misses that we have with these big guys on the outside lately. You know, when it comes to those types of guys, I have them as like Thomas being, having a good bit of more faith in him than Mitchell and Coleman, and then having more faith in them even more than, say, Xavier Leggett and Devontae Walker. Right there.
All right, fair enough. I know, with Mitchell, I believe his career average dominator, in spite of being at some big schools like Georgia and Texas, was actually pretty high. It was above 30%. I believe it's the one part of his profile, I think, that's better than Xavier Worthy's. And Worthy's career average dominator is pretty impressive. I think it's just right around 31. So there are parts of Mitchell's profile that do make him really appealing here.
6'2", 205, sub 4.4 40.
Again, back to the size speed combo, right? There's a few of those guys in this class that were really impressed with how well they ran considering their size. But then that also means they don't stand out as much because there's so many of them. So it's funny that Thomas, Coleman, Mitchell went at three of the four last picks. And it feels like they're all, it seems like they're the similar type of receiver, if I'm not mistaken. Jamie.
Three. Next pick here. I think we let the running backs fall a little too far. I know there's not one of the great ones, but as soon as we see landing spots, I think they're going to be pushed up into the end of the second round or end of the first round.
Sure. I think just pre-NFL draft, though, This seems like it's the prudent position to fade, because, again, this is one where you could take somebody and they could go in the fourth, fifth round easily, who you view as your RB1. So I think it actually made sense to ignore it completely. But, yeah, post-draft, kind of like J.J. McCarthy, I think we expect whoever the RB1 is to rise for sure.
I'm going to take my RB1 right here. Is going to the Dallas Cowboys, it's going to be Jonathan Brooks.
Yeah, and I know you've talked about like the medicals, right? And how it was the Cowboys team doctor that did his ACL surgery and more access to his recovery. And if the Cowboys like it and are willing to draft him, that'll give you confidence, right? I think.
Yeah.
Not to steal everything you want to say, but.
Yeah, no, but right here at the third pick of the second round, I think that's going to be a steal. I wouldn't blame anyone for taking Blake Corum or Trey Benson as their number one. Even Marshawn Lloyd, Jalen Wright, like all those guys are going to be great running backs. It just depends on their landing spot. So we'll see. This is going to be my number one running back.
And I guess if the crowd wants to chime in, maybe 206, halfway through the second round, if there's a player you feel – haven't represented yet, feel free to call them out and we'll pick. But I guess I've got the 204. Again, it's the risk reward with quarterbacks. If you take a quarterback here that gets first round capital, that's probably an added investment that post draft they'll see an increase in price. So at this point, without really any solid profiles and not really one running back I have super confidence in, I have an RB1 in the class, but I don't know that anyone else likes him very much, so I definitely won't take him here. I'm going to go quarterback, and this name hasn't been mentioned yet, but I'm going to take Bo Nix right here.
There goes Bo!
Yeah, the one big scary thing of his profile is his average depth of target. It was, I think, like right around 7, whereas other 4 quarterbacks that have been drafted, they're all in the double digits pretty comfortably, 11, 12 yards per target. So sometimes almost doubling up what Bo Nix did. Incredibly productive college career, though. I think it was 113 touchdown passes, which just blows away everyone else in this class. So certainly experienced. I think he can, unlike McCarthy, which and maybe even May to a certain extent, which needs refinement, I don't think Bo Nix has a huge ceiling, but he might have the safe floor of if he gets drafted fairly early, gets first-round capital, let's say to the Broncos, for instance, for just making up landing spots, where he could play in a Sean Payton offense, which feels like suits his skill set. A very much lesser Drew Brees version, almost, you could say. I feel like he could start right away. And he might not improve much over it and be better than what he is now. But I think what he is now is capable enough of getting starts in the NFL. So I'll take the risk on Bo Nix. And if he doesn't get first-round capital, probably blew a mid-second-round pick, which if you do that, that shouldn't be too detrimental to your dynasty team. But if he does get first-round capital, I feel like this is the pick that adds investment. So Bo Nix there. Which, again, might not be the popular choice at QB, but Brian, you're up at 205. Unless anyone – feel free to crucify me for the Bo Nix pick if everyone hates him. Go
ahead. I'm not going to crucify. I don't love him. I don't think he's a first-round talent. I think if he is picked in the first round, it's the NFL quarterback thirst, obviously. But
thirsty, yeah.
at the same time – there are things to be said in his favor as far as how he's matured. And, one of the things that we learned with Brock Purdy is that experience can matter sometimes, with the right prospect. He's not quite, 40 years old like Penix is, but, he's started a lot of games. He's seen a lot of defensive schemes. He's gotten through adversity. He's mobile enough, to extend the play. And as much as I don't think he's got a great arm, he does throw pretty well on the run. And, Troy Franklin, 8, we like Troy Franklin. And it's not like Troy Franklin's 8-0 was, 5. So, he was getting the ball enough to him. Bubble screen Bo, right? Like, I don't know. The Oregon system, like what did the Oregon system only ask him to do that? Or did it only ask him to do that because that's all he could do? I don't know. If he goes at 12 to Peyton, Sean Payton, then, people are going to love him a little more than I do now. And, again, just because it's a first round quarterback and he'll retain some value, I'll mix in a few shares, of McCarthy.
Mix in a few shares.
Nah, there you go. When it comes to McCarthy and Nix and Penix, even though I have Pratt ahead of Penix, those three guys seem to be the guys that may go in the first round. So I'll have a little bit of each of them precisely because they retain value. But they're kind of in that order for me to where by the time we get to Penix, almost the only reason I'm picking him is because he retains value, right? Like, not because I have any faith in the player. So
it, another player you're looking to flip after the rookie draft. Okay, this is the cheapest way to get him. What can I get in terms of players I can't get in the rookie draft? Veterans on teams. I trade this quarterback as opposed to, you know, whatever receiver you take here, you know, whatever asset you're looking for, that team probably already has other receivers. It's not the true differentiator. If a QB needy team needs a QB, then you can get that to get other players.
So I'm going to take next guy off my board, next wide receiver off my board too. Actually, he's not the next guy off my board, but I'm going to go with you know what? Let me do that. Let me take Jalen Wright. Yeah. I was going to take pretty Ricky Pearsall here, but let me take Jalen Wright. You know, I wrote an article about him. You know, it's ongoing for 2.com. He is in my, you know, top four running backs, and I have Brooks, Wright, Marshawn Lloyd, and Benson, and they're in that bucket of they have some combination of explosiveness, dynamism, athleticism, and at least a shot at a three down, you know, having their skill set translate to being a three down player. Now, that doesn't mean when I say three downs, I don't mean like workhorse three downs. I mean like they are a liability on third down, you know, so they can play all three downs if necessary. Jalen Wright is interesting because he is going to be another test case of like running backs in the new NFL, right? He's basically explosive, long speed, a little bit with the agility. He's got some good jump cuts, but he's not super elusive. He's more elusive, I think, you know, into the second level. But, you know, he breaks off these huge chunk plays and he's a competent receiver. He's good. You know, he's competent at pass pro. So he's not a liability on third down, right? But here's the flip side. If you look at my article, go look at the numbers because I don't have them memorized. But a lot of his success, in fact, a lot of his runs came against light boxes. You know, so there. You know, again, he's going to be a guy who's going to have to be deployed the right way in the right landing spot. 10 to 12 touches a game. You know, a lot of people want to say Achan. You know, because he's this is the straight speed guy in the class. He's at least bigger than HN by a little bit, but I don't think nearly as good. He's not quite as good as HN, and definitely didn't have the workhorse profile that HN pretty much did in college. But when I think about ceiling, I'm going to pretend that I like the landing spot for Jalen Wright, and I'm going to pick him here. Yeah.
And I'll say technically sound as a runner because I thought his footwork was – I think he actually – I think he was – no, maybe, I don't think he was number one in footwork, but he was top three in this class to be in the – And so ability to run well, which means you know, technically sound, can enter the NFL and not have to, like teams can trust him to be running a lot. His elusiveness, or his, I call it the fluidity, body fluidity, pad level. It felt like he was just a little bit, he would make guys miss simply because he's fast. And he showed it at the combine. He was number one in my burst score for this class as well. He would just outrun a lot of guys, but actually using his body technique to make guys miss, I don't think he was nearly as good at A-chan as that. A-chan, to me, that was, I think he was number one in body fluidity in last year's class. It wasn't just his speed, but also his ability to make guys miss. I think he is a better version of Jalen Wright. I don't think Wright is quite what A-chan is. A-chan. I forget what it's supposed to be. But yeah, I love Jalen Wright. He's my RB2 here. Does everyone else think this was the right call, Jamie Dillon?
I like the spot. Like I said, you can mix and match any of the running backs here. And as a number two running back off the board, I've seen him in a lot of people's number one spot. So,
Dillon, anything to say about Wright before you make your pick at 206?
He's got some freakish ability. I just wonder whether he'll be in like that. Timeshare committee where he's like a third down guy, like a DeAndre Swift guy.
Yeah, I guess it does feel like to Brian's point, he can play all three downs, but it doesn't really feel like there's really one true workhorse back in this class at all.
So, I think Brooks has got the chance to be, but how is he going to be coming off the knee?
How soon are we going to see that? Certainly, if they feel like he can be a workhorse, they may not even give him that opportunity in year one. squeeze him in. Yeah. So if you're looking for the workhorse back, this isn't the draft class to do it. You're more likely better to be trading picks for veteran running backs. Just, this is not a great time to trade for veteran running backs. After the NFL draft, I'd be more comfortable doing it. But if you're looking for workhorse backs, you're not going to find any just simply by making rookie picks. But Dylan, who would you like at 206?
Give me Trey Benson.
Another great combine. I believe Wright and Benson had the two best relative athletic scores. Actually, Garendo, I think, had the best. But of running backs that I had evaluated anyway on tape and in my top 20. So Benson's certainly a riser for me. I wasn't as crazy about him, but how he produced at the combine or performed, I think he's gotten to the point where I'm comfortable in the second round with him. I believe, Brian, you already mentioned Benson was one of your top four anyway, so you probably feel like this pick fits. Here.
Yeah, I mean, he's four out of those four, and I don't love him as much as his truthers do. But yeah, in this class, sure, absolutely.
Jamie, anything to say before you make your 207 pick?
Yeah, Benson, he's definitely top four, top five worthy. My favorite site has him as their number one, which I don't agree with him as the number one. But I gotta respect him. I've also heard to go check out that LSU game. It was in the beginning of the season. He had one of the worst games possible. They kept taking him out at key moments. And then you find out that later on, LSU is one of the worst defenses ever. So why didn't Trey Benson do better in that game? That's the only question I have, which I haven't went back and watched that game. I just heard about it. So, but right here at my pick, I'm going to go with one of my most hated colleges, Michigan.
Don't tell me. Blake Bolton or Roman Wilson?
It's going to be the running back here because Blake Corum, the way I'm looking at it is he could be one of the most running back ready guys. I'm at the sixth pick here. I already got my Rome Odunze. So adding Corum here, I push for the title because – long term, I don't like him, but Dynasty, you look, what, 2-3 years down the road, he could be in every down back for the next 2 years. He already had, what, 230, 240 carries last two seasons. I think he's going to be able to just get thrown right in there. And
it also seems like he's the one running back we kind of that's most tied to a landing spot, maybe as much as Jonathan Brooks to Dallas. This seems even stronger. His former college coach now being the head coach of the
Chargers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if he goes to the Chargers, I mean, this is a slam dunk spot right here at the 206.
I thought I saw something on X, and I forgot who X'd it out or tweeted it out, but they mentioned Corum's only top 30 visit was to the Chargers. So there's a few running backs that only ended up with like one top 30 visit. Like they've got 30 players they can bring into their facilities, and top 30 doesn't necessarily mean, you know, first round, but yeah, it seems like teams have 30 players they can prioritize. So for some of these running backs, they only got really one of those top 30 visits. And for him, it was the Chargers. I think, like I mentioned, Isaac Guerrero, I can't remember his name, but he got one with the Dolphins, which makes sense with his speed. It would kind of fit there naturally. So there's maybe some running back landing spots that are becoming clear just because these teams seem to be really interested in these.
And I've seen comps for Knowshon Moreno, Pierre Thomas, Javonte Williams.
Those are good backs. At the 208, I'm going to just basically copy-paste like I did at 204 and say the argument of quarterback that could get first-round capital at the 208, I think, could leap a full round in rookie drafts. If Michael Penix, let's say he's the guy that goes 11 to the Vikings, 106, I don't think is out of the question, but certainly 108 makes a lot of sense there. So if you can get a full round in increase in value, I think it's worth it to take it this late in the second with Michael Penix. Even though he doesn't run much. I think it was like 5 rush yards per game in college, which is not very good, especially for like even the guys that aren't Jaden Daniels and aren't like traditional runners. I think, Brian, you mentioned Drake May and his mobility. Like even Bo Nix, like these guys are rushing for like 20 rush yards per game in college, not 5 like Penix. So, you know, the low floor fantasy wise, I think could be there with Penix, where if he's not rushing and if he's not throwing multiple touchdowns in a game, he's not necessarily producing for you huge. So that's why I went Nix ahead of Penix, but ultimately made the right call. I got both, really. You know, I have team 4 and 8. Haha. But no, but I think the QBs are worthy picks here. Anyone disagree or get to move on to the last four picks in the second round?
No, I think if we're gonna assume that he gets first round capital, then sure. Yeah. I mean, I happen to not be a huge fan, but again, like I said before, if he gets some first round capital, I'll sprinkle in a couple shares.
Yeah. I think that's the risk game here, though, right? Like it's again, if you're drafting before the NFL draft, you have to kind of guess and make these guesses mm-hmm. based on the speculation. So it's the chicken and the egg of how early do these guys go when they would be. Yeah. If we had all the information, we'd certainly expect them to either be going earlier, or even if they don't get first round capital, be going later. Closer to the end of the second round, but I guess we can do our last four picks here, gentlemen, and be on our way. It's
No. 4 rounds, 4 hours. Come on.
Well, we're doing it. The other thing too I could suggest is we can go a little more detail on these four picks. If we do a lightning round third, where we'll just
sure.
say the picks,
yeah.
and then we'll do the analysis kind of at the end in terms of general. But yeah,
yep.
we can.
Yep.
Okay, so give maybe an explanation here for your picks, and then we'll go lightning round third.
Okay,
so, Brian, 209.
209. All right, it's Ricky time. Give me Ricky Pearsall. Yeah. I think he can win on the inside. He can win on the outside. Crisp route runner, good hands, high football IQ. I think he's pretty scheme independent. I think he's not the same type of player as Ladd McConkey, but you can get a lot of what Ladd McConkey does at a cheaper price with Ricky Pearsall. The NFL seems to like him. Great combine, day two buzz. And he has like a sleeve tattoo that says bet on me. And I'm not usually a fan of like those black and white sleeves with the dice and ornate stuff. But yeah, he's a badass. And he's got cool hair. He's a sexy boy. Give me pretty Ricky.
He's got that flavor that'll like, you know, if he gets a good like, even preseason, he'll go up in value.
Kyle, I got a thing for bad boys. Give me pretty Ricky. Give me pretty enough.
Yeah, I mean, he has that Tyler Lockett kind of upside also.
Okay.
In my opinion, he is a little bit older of a prospect. So by the time his contract's up, he will be above that age apex. But players like him could play into their early 30s.
He's got a role almost immediately. Like he won't, his like learning curve to the NFL won't be as major as some other guys. Like Tyler Lockett came in the NFL, had a role immediately. If it wasn't full time on offense, he was returning a lot, and he was contributing, especially touchdown wise, even as early as a rookie. I believe he had like 9 or 10 touchdowns as a rookie. And Russell Wilson, being more towards the peak of his career than he is now, probably helped. But like to do it, like if he can be Lockett and get a role immediately in the NFL, that can lead to production. Dylan, who would you like at the 210?
Similar vein with slot guys. I want Roman Wilson. I think this guy was freakishly. I've heard great things about him at the Senior Bowl, and I like these Michigan guys coming from pro style offenses because he can run block, he can run the route tree, and I think Roman Wilson at 210 is a really good pick for me.
Right. Jamie, you're up at 211.
I want also Roman Wilson here, please.
Sniped. Good job, Dylan.
Yeah. No, that was my pick. I love Roman Wilson, man. Like I used to be able to get him in the third round, and people didn't even know who he was at that time.
I'm sorry, Jamie. I love you guys at the end of these rounds.
Oh, man, this is a tough pick right here. A player I'm not really truly in love with, but – I'm going to go with Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina, just because I am that workout metric kind of guy. I like those fast speed guys, burst. He's got burst. He's got speed. I just don't know where he's going to go. So that's kind of what I'm just kind of falling off of him. Plus he only had one 70-yard catch season. So he had that late breakout age. So I'm kind of not sure about him, but at the end of the second round, I'll take a shot at him. Like last year, I was in this spot last year, I was taking Jaden Reed every single draft, and that worked out.
It's funny because his breakout age was 22 for a 20% dominator rating, and his career average dominator was like 35%, which is ridiculous. It's almost as high as Marvin Harrison's. So it's a very strange profile, to be honest, from a production standpoint. So yes, not quite sure how to feel about Leggett, but I will say, Jamie, you made my life easier because he was my next receiver up, and I was debating, do I go my wide receiver 8 or my RB1? It's time, folks. The RB1 coming out.
Braylon Allen?
Oh, no. I'm going to look this up. I know because it'll take me forever to find it. But, yeah, Blake Watson out of Memphis.
Oh, my God.
Talk about the three-down skill set. I truly believe he has the best opportunity to be a three-down, potentially workhorse back in this class. But yeah, I don't really think he will be, but I don't think any of these guys will be. I don't love this class. I don't think it's great. But Watson really stood out as one of the best contact balance guys in this class. And so there's the chance of, okay, touchdown potential as a goal line guy. I could see that in the NFL more than almost anyone in this class. I know Roboto Not, who couldn't be here tonight. I know his school. They're good at producing goal line backs, I guess. It looks like this year. But Watson was third in my overall film grades. But he actually had the best scrimmage yards per season in the FBS out of anyone I evaluated. Over 1,400 yards per season, scrimmage-wise, because last year at Memphis, he caught 53 passes, which is ridiculous for a running back in college. This class, there's a couple guys that have that really good receiving profile, but those guys that do, say Dylan Johnson, Bucky Irving, I don't think they're nearly as good as actual running backs as Blake Watson. I know I might get some pushback on this show for sure on that comment, but my RB1 is Blake Watson. It's probably a reach here. I truly believe this is a smart pick here. I don't think it's a reach, especially if you're thinking you are the 112. I can take an upside shot on adding a guy that could be a running back for me immediately and produce in the lineup. And if I'm in a contention window, I think a guy like Blake Watson is perfect here as the 212. Now, all the hate can flow, and then we'll do the third round right lightning round. So if anyone wants
I just got one question for you. So let's say the Colts draft him. Are you dropping Evan Hall for Blake Watson?
It's funny because Hall does have a better film grade than Watson. That's tricky. They both have pass catching profiles. I get honestly, it would what round? Because if they're just taking Blake Watson in the seventh round. Probably not. I'm probably sticking with Evan Hull because it's just as late capital. But if they, say, prioritize Blake Watson in the fourth round, that signals to me the Colts mean more for Watson than they did for Hull. So that'll, Jamie, to your answer your question, it really just depends what round Watson goes on that.
Makes sense.
Fourth, fifth round, probably, because that's ahead of Hull. Sixth, seventh round, and he's the same or behind Hull in terms of capital, then no, I'll stick with Evan Hull. And that might be my stubborn brain, just because – again, I don't love this running back class. I think there's my number one guy in film grade would have been number 11 last year. So, yeah, but we can get to third round, lightning quick. Maybe not as quick as Xavier Worthy, but we'll try and get through as quickly as we can. So, Brian, 301.
First of all, I'm not going to give you any hate for Blake Watson. Like, I don't know that there's going to be many drafts, even after the NFL draft, where you have to spend the 212 on him, but in a class where after, I don't know, my first 7, 8, 10, it's like, who the hell cares? Like, and in most rookie drafts, when it's after the mid second, get your fucking, get your guys. Like, what the hell, Blake Watson. So
I will say post NFL draft, if he really doesn't get the capital and I'm proved wrong, then yeah, I'm not going to put him in the second round. But as it stands right now, we don't know anything.
Yeah.
Just like how the QBs fell, I'm also maybe willing to take Watson earlier.
Yeah, because there could be another Watson lover because he is kind of a popular sleeper. And so if you're at, you know, the 212, he ain't going to come back to you at the 312 unless you trade up, you know, something like that. Anyway, I'll shut up. Give me Marshawn Lloyd, 301.
Best pick of the draft.
Could be good value there. Another guy like Benson and Wright that really did great at the combine and really raised his stock, I think. Dylan, 302.
Malachi Coley.
Hey, good. I'm glad I'm finding these pretty easily on the search. Jamie, 303.
Malik Washington.
What position is he?
Wide receiver.
Okay, that's what I thought. Thanks. 304. Well, I guess my wide receiver 9 is still there. So, yeah, seems like it's a good time to take DeVontez Walker. But, yeah, Brian, you're up at 305.
If this was a tight end premium, it would be Ben Sinnott. You know, I still love Bucky Irving. Give me Bucky Irving.
Yeah, I wondered when that would happen. Brian, you're RB1 and my RB1 can fight it out. They'll probably get close to the same cap.
Oh, yeah, I'm not, you know, listen, like the testing showed me that his path is narrower than we think and that some of his success is attributable to being in the Pac-12. But he's a productive player who's super agile, can make guys miss. Go check out Dynasty Zoltan's tweet about him, where like there's a group of people who only have a certain, like they check this, and this since 2019 or 2015 or whatever. And like he's on a list with like Gibbs and Saquon and stuff like that. So
a 50-catch season as a running back in college is pretty rare. And like he and Watson are, I think, only two of only three in this class to have done it. So yeah, makes sense. But yeah, sorry. Anything else to say about him or move on? Yes, move on. Dylan, 306.
Jalen Polk.
Okay, yeah, wide receiver. Oh yeah, right at the very top. Jalen Polk, there he is. Sorry. Okay. You're up, Jamie, at 307.
Man, let's get him thin. Let's go with McMillan.
The wide receiver, yeah. Jalen McMillan, right?
Yeah, I keep hearing that he could be the next late round receiver that breaks out. We'll see.
He wasn't healthy this year for Washington. I'm like,
well, you know what? I already mentioned it earlier. My number one film grade guy would have been RB 11 in other classes, but
that Gilman, you're gonna take him now.
Yeah, Ray Davis, a bit of an older prospect, but I like what I saw on tape. Production was good enough, decent enough of a pass catcher. Again, a guy that could have all three downs as a role. Even if he's not a true workhorse back, he can play on early downs. He can be a pass catcher. Not a great combine. Maybe not as bad as some others, though. But again, in a class that really is less than impressive, the fact that he was my number one tape guy, maybe that's my bias, but keeps him in the top five for me. Take Raymond Davis here. Brian, 309. Last picks for all of us here. So
just I happen to love Ray Davis. And if you're gonna do a my guy in the middle of the third round, it might as well be a guy with the backstory that he has. Right. I'm gonna put a link to an article about it in the chat. And it's just you want to root for Ray Davis.
I think you mentioned briefly too on one of your episodes of Dynasty Saturday Night Five. So yeah, again, recommend people check that out. On Saturday nights, convenient time for the episode.
I'm going to go with Jermaine Burton. He's going to fall because of off-field stuff, but I think he's as talented or better than guys like A.D. Mitchell and Keon Coleman. He's going to come much cheaper.
Yeah. I have him in the same tier as Mitchell, so he is my next receiver rank. So that would have, if I went wide receiver position, that's probably where I would have gone there. Dylan, your final pick at 310.
Kyle, I thought for sure you were going to take my guy at 3-8. I'm like, Isaac Garendo.
Ah, okay.
I'm like, oh, gosh.
Awesome. And 311, a great, phenomenal band, but also Jamie's pick here.
I don't think anyone's going to take has anybody drafted Braylon Allen?
Nope, Braylon Allen is there.
I think he has to go right here. He's my number 6 running back this class. I know, and he's the bigger guy. Imagine him on the Bills with James Cook, like that 1-2 punch. And he's probably going to be touchdown dependent, but
yeah. Here for the last pick at 312. My RB4 is available, but my tight end 2 is available. And I really kind of want to go there, even though it's not tight end premium. Mr. Athletic Profile himself, Jamie, knows. What do we look for at tight ends? It's athleticism.
Yep.
The Canadian, Theo Johnson, had a 9.99 relative athletic score. So that's enough for me to be the tight end 2 in the class. My Canadian bias will show through, but I'll go Theo Johnson. All right, so there we go. Mock draft, 3 rounds done. 6 quarterbacks went. A ton of receivers went. We had 8 in the first round. So But I guess 9 in the first 14 picks. Very popular wide receiver tier. And then it seemed a tier break. And then the running backs really took over. We had 4 out of 5 picks be running backs. Almost half the second round was running back, so it's taking shots of who we think will be our RB1s. But I just want to thank everyone for joining. Thank you, Dylan, for bringing the idea of wanting to do a rookie mock draft, inspiring us. This was a lot of fun, so appreciate that. And then, put the call out for Going for Two Live members to join us. And thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Brian, for taking time to join us here, in fact. So we'll go around the room and let everyone talk about things. But does anyone want to talk about the draft in general?
I just want to give some honorable mentions. In the fourth round of drafts, just a few years ago, I don't know if you remember Pacheco going in the fourth round. Guys like that this year could be Lobby, Vidal, Dylan Johnson, Schrader, people like that.
Dylan Johnson, he's the other guy with the 50-plus catches in a season.
Like, I'd rather, in the fourth round, take a shot on a running back rather than sit on a receiver for 2-3 years hoping they break out. Give me that running back, and if they don't break out in a year or two, you know, just cut them loose. It's not going to hurt you in the fourth round.
We went 18 wide receivers deep, right? So when we talk about, okay, fourth round receivers, you're taking the 25th wide receiver off the board and late in the fourth. To your point, it's probably better to be investing in some of these quarterbacks even. A couple of guys that could be still values. Someone earlier mentioned Michael Pratt. Was that you, Brian?
Yeah, I love Pratt.
He was someone I might have even considered at that last pick with the 312. If my tight end two wasn't on the board, I might have gone elsewhere. But
I thought about round the 3-2.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I think this third round you could be where you see Pratt or Rattler. So expect to see at least probably 8 quarterbacks go in rookie draft. So there's still some value to be had. But yeah, I think we exhausted the wide receivers. I think there's Brandon Rice, Johnny Wilson be the only guys I think I'd even come close to considering at this point, but even then,
interesting.
I like Audric Estime again, goal line back. I know his combine wasn't as impressive. Fair pick in the fourth round too, some good value. Ben Sinnott, he was another great athletic
player. Yeah, I love Ben Sinnott. If Josh was here, Estime would have been taken already.
I almost took him in the third too on my own, but yes, Ben Sinnott was my tight end three. So
I will co-sign Vidal. Love him. I love Isaiah Davis, South Dakota State. I would still consider at wide receiver Javon Baker and maybe Jacob Cowing. Here's the thing that I wanted to ask you, you know, because we were talking about, might as well take the running back instead of receiver, which I normally would agree with, you know, load up on running back late because you want to have a lot of shots on goal with that. You want to have a lot of guys that, you know, because of injury. And I'm wondering, though, in this draft, are we going to see teams say, I can get a wide receiver later because the class is so deep and take like a safety? Right. And then before you know it, like a round 4 or round 5 wide receiver isn't the death sentence that it used to be. So, you know, a guy like Javon Baker, Jacob Cowing or Taj Washington or somebody like that, you know, might be, you know, worth considering rather than, you know, Kamani Vidal, I won't offend you with Watson, but, you know, a Schrader, Tyrone Tracy, Kendall Milton, you know, like it. I don't know. Like, it could be. It's going to be an interesting year.
Will Shipley, another guy, another pretty good combine as well. He could be someone pass catching back as well. And the 3 down, available to roll on 3 downs. But, we'll let people know where we can find our follow. You said, Dylan, why don't you go ahead? Again, it was your idea to do the mock draft, so let people know about all of the great work you do.
Check me out, host the Big B podcast. In fact, I'm going to record another episode right now. I'm literally recording NFL. We're going to talk quarterbacks. So perfect time that we did a draft and now I'm talking quarterbacks.
Yeah, we had a few quarterbacks talked about, but yeah, appreciate you coming on, Dylan. Thanks for joining us here at Going for Two Live. Appreciate it. Going for Two Live members, Jamie and Brian. So I guess, no cheat sheet tomorrow, so we'll do Brian first. I think his show is first upcoming. So Dynasty Saturday Night 5 a couple days away, but every Saturday night.
Find me on Twitter, @FFJunkie_. I've got the articles and rankings up at goingfor2.com, which we have a great Discord and stuff. And Dynasty Saturday Night 5 on the same YouTube channel, 7:30 on Saturdays, and Dynasty Fever Pod midweek. We do audio only stuff. So, yeah.
And then Jamie, you're on the fantasy cheat sheet. Like I said, you'll be taking off this Tuesday, I believe. So next episode will be.
Yeah, we'll be doing every 16th. Other Tuesday. Yeah, every other Tuesday. And then when it gets closer to the season, we'll start every week again. So yeah, you can find my my average analysis over there on the cheat sheet. I got actually, we'll say average, but I got a great announcement. I just want to bring it up. This is the first time I'm bringing it up on Going for Two. I'll be doing some IDP work for Fantasy Six Pack coming up this season.
Sweet. So high five or high six.
Means Steve Hungarter, we're teaming up and we're just going to blow through IDP. So yeah, look for our articles, and we do podcasts every so often. We got our own network. It's called the IDP Hunter. You can find it on YouTube. So, or it's IDP Hunting Ground. Sorry. Right. But yeah, that's about it.
Awesome. James.
Awesome. Glad, congrats. Glad yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
And yeah, great stuff happening always on the Going for Two Live Network. There's shows almost every night of the week. I mean, I mentioned the cheat sheet alternates weeks with Speak on It, so a great podcast, Speak on It. Losty Mix, Danny Ocean. They are hilarious, but also very insightful about sports.
So, yeah, I love them too, man. They make a perfect couple.
Oh, they do. And you know what? They will be on Gladys's show this week, the mock draft show, in no particular order. I'll be joining as well. We're going to be drafting One Hit Wonders. So that'll be Thursday, I believe at 5 Eastern, 3 Mountain for Gladys time. And I think it'll be Dynasty Gambit that right after, because it was just the Fantasy Assessment last Thursday. Thursdays, Tuesdays, split things off every 2 weeks. Of course, the Armchair Fantasy Show every Friday or every Wednesday. And I believe this Friday we are doing a PLP, Personal League Podcast. So I guess promote that here. If you want your league to have a podcast set up just for you, a podcast episode, go to the Going for Two website. There's a PLP form, Personal League Podcast form, to fill out. There is a cost associated to help run this thing. So get in contact with Jeff Lambert at JeffLambert77 if you'd like any further details. But again, you can also check things out at goingfor2.com. Like, you can find the great work and great articles by these guys. And next Monday, I will be back with an episode of Press Coverage. We have Andrew Erickson from Fantasy Pro. Forward to that conversation. Andrew seems like a nice guy. I met him at the first Fantasy Football Expo in 2019, and he was super generous with his time, very awesome person to talk to. So I'm glad to get to talk with him on Press Coverage. So that'll be fantastic for our April episode of Press Coverage. Also got the Full Press Fantasy Pod, Full Press Packers Pod. It's kind of like Brian, audio only, talking rookies this time of year, kind of similar to what we talked about today. So if you like this kind of stuff, check out the Full Press Fantasy Pod. Check out everything at Going for Two Live. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Brian. And thank you all the listeners, viewers, for watching. It was fantastic. Any final words for any words of wisdom or other words?
Let's go Purdue.
Oh, yeah. Right. Basketball. National championship. But Brian's had enough of people cheering for random teams at the end of streams, don't you? Oh, I guess he hasn't. All right, we'll keep going. But go Ticats, even though the CFL hasn't started. But yeah, thank you, everyone, for watching another episode. 2-point conversion. Bye for now.